Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission. Well, hello today, folks. This is Dr. William Curtis with the WFO Life Podcast and the NRG Tribe. Today, I think this is going to be a bonus episode. This is not going to be a regular, weekly episode. But it's going to be an update on the, I guess we'll call it our COVID-19 update. Today, I've also got sharing the airwaves with me today. I've got Dr. Ron Guevara, who's one of my partners at Future Focus Family Medicine. We wanted to sit down and remind people about what's going on in the world and how, at least our medical team is responding to that. And then also put some reminders out there about what we ought to be doing for just general health. So again, Ron, welcome to the show. I know you've been on, you've been one of our guests before. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, as our team has been very tied to what we call the telemedicine platform in recent weeks. Of course, we've done this at our clinic for many years, but right now it seems like it's really taken on a significant portion of our practice as we're all in quarantine.
It really has. Even this morning, I didn't have much on my schedule. I'm working from home today. I didn't have much on my schedule when I woke up this morning, but almost immediately I had our staff at Future Focus contact me with about half a dozen patients that needed to be seen today via our virtual platform or our telemedicine platform. So I was able to finish with those folks this morning, and they all seemed to be very appreciative of having their healthcare needs met while not having to come into the office because of our current situation with, the governor saying that, we need to shelter in place and try to avoid, exposing themselves to this coronavirus, this COVID-19.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Now, I've done telemedicine for several years, on various platforms, including our own. So for me, it's a little less new, except for we're doing so much more of it now. And it's kind of interesting. A lot of my friends are like, it's nice, and I appreciate that they're kind of thanking us for our service kind of thing, But the reality is, this is kind of what we signed up to do. And I'm kind of, it's interesting to me because we're actually, they think we're busy. I'm very slow right now. I'm not doing a fraction of the normal patient care I normally do. And for me, it's a bit strange. I don't know about you, but I'm of the mindset I'm ready to make contact with the enemy, so to speak. Not that I want us to have a big outbreak or something, but it's just like at some point I want to feel like I'm helping and dealing with things. And I guess in some way we are. We're helping, coordinate care and we're certainly treating people. I don't know if that's landed for you the same way, but I've talked to a couple of other friends of mine that are physicians that are sort of like waiting in the wings, ready to do what we need to do.
No, absolutely. Yesterday I had a busy morning, but my afternoon was, crickets. Sat in the office and took care of a lot of things that I don't normally get to take care of because we're so busy generally with, the number of patients that we see in the office and even through our, telemedicine platform. So it has been a lot less busy because of this outbreak, but I think one of the things that I know you and I are trying to focus on is not just treating those folks that are concerned about whether or not they may have COVID or any other kind of respiratory or infectious disease process going on, but also maintaining their general health and wellness and keeping up with their general health needs, not just what's going on with regard to COVID.
I'm seeing this. I have the same concern, to be honest. I've noticed that, as a clinic, we typically will see 85 to 90 patients a day. And, if the volume drops way off, that indicates one thing to me. A, people are doing what the government's asking, which is, sort of sheltering in place and self quarantine. But what I am concerned is happening is that people are not addressing their routine health needs. Because one of the side things that I'm concerned with is that as time goes on, we're going to have people having other medical problems because they're ignoring their basic medical issues out of fear of COVID-19. Does that make sense? I mean, I feel like there's, I don't know if it's anecdotal, I know, but like just the other day I saw two people that were in the heart, you know, hospital from our clinic with heart attacks. And it's kind of like, man, I wonder if those people were taking their medications. I wonder, you know, what was going on in their lives that led to that. But it's like, it's a reminder that regular medical issues, I mean, heart disease being the number one killer in our country, is still going on. Those issues are still going on and need to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from my point of view, there's two things going on. I think that the stress that so many of us are under in dealing with this current situation and this epidemic or this pandemic, I think that is bad enough. But then when you add that to the general health issues that our patients suffer from with regard to heart disease and lung disease and endocrine type and metabolic problems like diabetes, I think that just adds to the concern that we have, because as we've talked about for years and years, you know, stress is a major factor in all of these health issues. And if their stress level is even higher because of the current situation with this pandemic, then I think it puts them at even greater risk, whether they get the actual infection or not. So absolutely, I think we need to try and maintain our focus in maintaining health, not just preventing an infection. So yeah, absolutely. We need to be on top of, you know, them taking their medications and making sure that they, you know, check their vital signs routinely, you know, through our telemedicine platform. We have a wonderful service that allows them to put in their vital signs, and we're able to see those, you know, over the computer, which is, I think, fantastic. And allows us the ability to say, you know, at least to ourselves, okay, well, this patient, you know, is doing good from a vital sign point of view. Their respiratory rate is normal. Their temperature is normal. Their blood pressure is normal. So as long as they, you know, are able to monitor those things and continue with their medications, I think that's obviously something that we want. And the service that we provide, you know, a lot of the service that we provide, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, to each other, is, you know, patients need information. It's not necessarily that they need us to put our hands on them and examine them, although that is something that, you know, we want to do in terms of being able to examine our patients. But the most thing, most of what our patients need from us is information. And if we're able to provide that through that type of service, then, you know, all the better.
I agree with that. You know, the other thing that, you know, you kind of touched on it briefly, I know it's a part of both of our lives, but there's things that people can do at home right now. Cause I know one of the concerns I've run into, I just saw a gentleman earlier this morning. I'm stationed at the clinic today. And one of the things that, you know, they're starting to get concerns about losing their job and, you know, finances are getting tight and these types of things. So for a lot of folks, we should talk briefly about the things, our kind of favorite things to keep people healthy. And I'll start with one. A lot of people have a lot more free time right now. There is zero reason why somebody should not be physically active if they're capable of being so. Physical exercise, I'll go with that one for now, is quite frankly one of the quickest and easiest ways to boost natural immunity. Besides the fact that you're getting fresh air and sunshine and things like that, you can be socially distant and exercise. I do it every day. I've been jokingly putting some social distancing posts on my Facebook page every morning as I go for my morning run. Right. But it's one of the things that keeps us healthy is to be physically active. Movement is something that boosts immunity. All the research shows it. Please, if you're out there and you're worried or you're excessively concerned about COVID-19 and you're wondering what can you do besides popping pills or, you know, things like that, physically move. And I know you work out every morning too.
Yes, I get up about 5:15 every morning, and I get at least a 30-minute workout in. I've invited my brother-in-law over to work out with me on weekends, and that's been really good for us. One of the things that I love that you say, and I know you tell this to your patients in clinic, and I've started to do the same, is, you know, start where you are. And I love that concept, because one of the things that I think a lot of people are afraid of is having to compete with somebody else or expect that that, you know, that they need to go and run, you know, for 30 minutes every day. And that's not it. What I'm asking patients to do is, you know, exactly like you said, start where you are, do what you can do, improve every day, increase the intensity a little bit as you can, increase the duration with what you, with, you know, the amount of time that you exercise, as time goes on. You know, I don't expect someone to get up, and exercise for 30 minutes like I do, on day one. You know, start with, you know, 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes and advance from there. I've advised patients to work on things like, you know, doing yoga. And I tell patients, you know, if you can find a yoga video on YouTube, you know, I don't expect you to get into a downward dog position just like the person on the YouTube channel. You know, start with simple exercises and advance from there. You won't be able to get into that position right off the bat. You know, start with very simple exercises. I tell people to walk in place. If they can't walk outside, walk in place. You know, if they need to hold on to something while they're walking in place, do that. If they need to do what I call a modified jumping jack, do that. But just get active, move your joints, use your muscles, stretch out your muscles. I think all of that is vitally important, like we're talking about. You're right, it helps to boost the immune system. So all of those things are really important. And then, you know, as you advance, increase the intensity and the duration with which you exercise. I think that's important.
Yeah, and all of that underscored because it boosts your immunity. Oh, one plug, since you mentioned yoga, which I think I totally agree with, I'll put it in the show notes somewhere for this episode, but my wife, Kimberly Curtis, is a yoga instructor, and she is offering courses via Zoom. So she's doing this, and I think that's something that a lot of people are starting to do. They realize they need stress management, and yoga is a great tool for that. I don't have all that linked as we, you know, I don't know her like information as we speak right now, but what I'll do is in the show notes, I'll put a link because I think she's doing those every day. And basically somebody could do that anywhere from their own living room and connect with other people. And she does it in a way where, you know, they can interact kind of thing. And she does a great job with that. So anyway, I'll post that. One other thing I wanted to jump on here, we talked about exercise as a natural way to boost immunity in these hard times that we're dealing with right now, where immune function is key. The big one, and I know I've done an episode on the WFO Life podcast on this, on sleep. Now, if you sleep less than 7 hours, I don't want you to listen to that podcast and freak yourself out, okay? But what I did do is I explained what the science says about sleep. And basically, if you're sleeping less than 7 hours a day, it doesn't end so well for you. And I want you to listen to it. If you have trouble sleeping, or if you're not getting 7 to 9 hours, please look at it and make sure that sleep is part of what you do. It's part of your health regimen. And what I mean by that is you should try, especially right now, we all have more free time typically. Not everybody, but a lot of us do. Try to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. It will boost your immunity. It will decrease your chance of infection. The body makes most of our immune response during sleep. So if that's the case, it's not time to binge on, you know, a Netflix series until 2 in the morning and, you know, get 5 hours of sleep. And this is not the time to do that. The time to do that is go, you know, go to bed with the sun and, you know, get up with the sun kind of thing, if you can swing that. I really believe in that. I know we've talked about that a lot, Ron, but I'm a big believer in sleep. It's something that I just didn't know about coming out of medical school years ago. And now the research is really, really interesting in how important that is. So I'll throw sleep out there as another hugely important you know, aspect of boosting immunity during this whole COVID-19 pandemic. You got any others you're thinking about?
Well, to underscore sleep, one of the things that you know, I want to say is not just sleep, but effective sleep. You know, I have obstructive sleep apnea, and if you're not getting effective sleep, you know, that 7 hours of effective sleep, then you're wasting your time. You know, when I used to wake up feeling so exhausted and tired, and I just thought it was because of the amount of hours that I was putting in at work and stuff like that. But what it really was just not getting effective sleep. So, you know, if you're a sleep apnea patient, or if you have, you know, some other sleep-related breathing disorder that prevents you from getting effective sleep, then, you know, definitely want to look into that and get that treated. Other things, you know, we talk about sleep hygiene and making sure that, you know, there are no distractions in the bedroom when you're trying to get to sleep. You know, lights out, TV off, phone off, All of those things are really important to prevent you from getting distracted while you're getting that effective sleep. You know, I agree with you 100%. Once I started focusing on getting, 7.5 hours of sleep every night, I feel so much more rested. I feel energetic. I feel that my thought processes are much more clear. I feel like I'm ready to go when I wake up. Many times I'll wake up before my alarm goes off, and that's because I'm getting good, effective sleep. So, yeah, definitely agree with that 100%.
That's a good sign. Yeah. That's a good sign when you're getting up, you know, on your own and you feel rested. That's a sign of good health. We can't hardly go through a podcast on health or immune function without talking about nutrition. I know that it's difficult right now. People are struggling to get their normal supply chains of food have been an issue, but as best you can, eat fresh. I would encourage people to avoid processed sugars. I know that it's easy to get comfort foods and snack out on things that are, don't perish easy. As best you can, we want to limit simple sugars in the diet because that, quite frankly, raises problems with blood sugar. It suppresses our immunity, increases our chances of cancer, all these types of things. This is not the time to let your diet go. This is a time to try to do the best you can by eating good fats, proteins, and vegetables, and stay away from the processed junk as best you can. We understand, and I'm not preaching to anyone if the times are tight or finances are tight and you can't get what you can't get, but do what you can. Very similar to your message, Ron, with the exercise. Do what you can with what you have where you are. You know, do the same thing nutritionally. Make the best decisions you can. Keep the simple sugars and the processed junk out of the diet. We're about 16 minutes in or so. I want to have close with a few thoughts on mental health and stress.
If you don't mind, I want to plug the office and my farm with regard to nutrition. You know, we provide at Future Focus, we have, vegetables that we get from local farmers, including my wife. My wife, Amy, runs, our farm, Gavada Farms. We have lots of, healthy, fresh vegetables. And I know at the office we have, farm-raised meats and things like that. So those are things that, if you're having difficulty finding a place where you can get healthy meals, look to Future Focus, not just for, what medicine can I take, what vitamin supplement can I take, also what food can I eat. We have those things available at the office many times. And of course, we don't have the stock that a grocery store may have, but if you're having difficulty finding, your groceries at HEB or your local grocer, look to Future Focus for some of those things as well.
Yeah, I thank you for bringing that up. I totally, that's something, accessing quality food is something people have mentioned as a problem. And we do have those products here in the office. One thing I wanted to mention before we close out, though, is the idea of mental health. I think it's really important that people keep a schedule every day. I also think it's important to stay informed, but I like to do what I call media fasting. I have been practicing what I call media fasting for the last 8 years. I do not watch the news. I do not listen to talk radio. I don't do anything that's the constant drumbeat of the same message, one side versus the other. I don't do that. In this day and time, we have to be vigilant. We have to be aware of what's going on, but we don't have to be bombarded with negativity and hype. And what I would suggest is that if you give me my routine every morning, I tell the phone, wake up phone, and I say, I need to hear NPR news, and I say Fox News, and then I say I say BBC news, and I listen to each one is about a 2-minute blurb, and that's it. And I go on for the rest of the day on that bit of news. And the reason I do that is because what's happening is we're seeing and hearing the same thing over and over again, and it's anxiety provoking. I mean, you can only read so many times a day, so many tweets, so many Facebook posts about toilet paper's not on the shelf or another 200 people died somewhere. You can only listen to so much of that, and it's outside your sphere of influence. It's outside what you really can control, and what you should be looking at, you know, how you can do the best each day for yourself and your family. I don't know if that strike, how that lands for you, Ron, but I have seen people really, my last two visits in the clinic this morning were anxiety and, you know, kind of people that are starting to get ramped up because they just, they're watching the same thing all day.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I guess my morning routine is, you know, the first thing I do when I get up is I just thank God for, you know, first of all, for waking up and having the ability to make a difference for our community. So I try not to worry about, you know, thanking him for the things that I have, mostly just being grateful for the opportunity to serve our community. That's the very first thing. The second thing I do is, you know, I do get on my phone and I check any local updates and national updates just to be sure that, you know, nothing major has blown up overnight. So I do that. But then after that, you know, I go and I get my exercise in, and then I make time to read for a minimum of 10 minutes after exercising. I'm currently reading a book that I'll have to talk to you about at some point. But in the middle of that right now, so every morning I try and do that for a minimum of 10 minutes. And then I have my breakfast and get ready to go into work. I, like you, try to avoid listening to the news too much. You know, we have our morning meetings where we get our updates from the CDC through our nurse practitioner, Dr. Anguiano. And that's pretty much it. You know, I get home and my wife will tell me, you know, some of the major things that have happened during the day, and she'll record the news for me. And, you know, we might watch a little bit of that. But once we get to dinner, you know, the TV goes off and she and I talk about other things that are going out here on the farm, and try not to talk too much about, you know, other national issues regarding COVID. We've also started watching Cheers on Netflix just to get some laughs. You know, we'll watch an episode or two each night, just again to get away from, you know, the all the bad news that's circulating in the media. So I definitely agree with, you know, all those things in terms of trying to keep anxiety and stress levels at a minimum. But everything that we've talked about today should be helping with that. You know, exercise, appropriate nutrition. One of the things that we didn't mention was the use of vitamins and supplements to help maintain health, which obviously is a big thing, something that you and I definitely promote. So, but yeah, I definitely agree. Maintaining a low stress level is going to be really important at this time.
Ron, thank you for sharing this episode with me. We'll put it out as a bonus episode. Probably we'll put it out on the NRG Tribe and on the WFO Live podcast. And I think this is valuable, and perhaps maybe during this window of time we could do a few more bonus sessions as maybe new information comes up, you know, and in any insights we might have of what's going on for the people that follow or trust our advice. I appreciate your time, Ron. I'll let you get back to work. And for anyone else out there, I will put all the things we talked about in show notes, all the links and everything that we mentioned. And by all means, if you have questions or if you find this information valuable, please leave a comment in the show notes or let us know things that you would like to hear more from us. And we'll do the best we can to crank those out. And hopefully we'll be out the other end of the tunnel here in the coming weeks. Ron, take care. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Bill. You too.